a plague of blood that and blood, milk, and famine, which is interesting because of the description of milk is kind of a variation on a Renaissance description of the lymph glands, blood being the life force of the body. And famine in this case being applied to emaciation. It could be about AIDS. It could also be about a pandemic of something like Ebola. Again, these are dire, but the way I look at it, and as Ed is saying, a lot of this is very negative sounding, but it's the alchemy of the person listening to these messages, the alchemy is to take this negative stuff and use it as a way to be scared straight. To use it like the Zen master hitting you over the head with a stick to wake you up. Once you're woken up, you're not going to need to be hit over the head with a stick, and a lot of these dire things can be solved. But if you're in a deep illusion about them not being there, you need a good swat in the head to make you alert. A little hard love is good. It's not necessary. We could deal with these. We could manage our populations without plagues. We could manage the feed and clothe the world without the disasters that are coming, because we believe in runaway consumerism, just like the bark beetle believes in runaway consumerism of trees until the whole forest is dead and nearly dead, and then thunderstorms start a forest fire and they're mostly destroyed in their own little bark beetle apocalypse. In a way, we're acting, here we are with the biggest brain cases and the biggest brains in the, of any animal on this planet, but we are looking at our world like a bark beetle.
Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on with John Hoag. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is John from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin you are. Go ahead, John.
Hello, John. I have a question concerning, well, for one, has to do with like the Book of Revelation, and it talks about ushering in a time of peace, like which the Antichrist is supposedly supposed to do. And I was wondering if Nostradamus or any other prophets that you may know of, for that matter, have anything to say about this, and which is supposed to happen supposedly before the last global war.
Well,
and also if. How much prophets have in common with like what each other say, and with the Book of Revelation also.
Well, there's a lot of commonality, John, and other than my Nostradamus books, I have a number of books that tries to look at the comparative prophetic visions of different diverse Eastern, Western, and Native religions. And what's important, though, is to kind of try to see these prophecies without the blinders of perception that we often, wherever we brought up in any part of the world, we accidentally on purpose get indoctrinated with a view of what these prophecies mean. And it's so ingrained that we don't even know sometimes that we're seeing them a certain way according to how our society has told us they should be interpreted. Prophet scholar or anyone who wants to look with fresh eyes at prophecy has to be aware that play the game of, you know, everything that I think this is about is probably wrong, and then put it aside and look at the words of these prophets as if you were a child, looking at it without any indoctrination. Then you start seeing associations. Sometimes I would even claim that you start seeing associations that even the prophets themselves in their own bias couldn't see. And so with that in mind, without having to go with the time we don't have to go through hundreds of different variations of prophecies, you can see these in my books, you will see one common pattern in very different traditions about these times. And one of them is that a lot of people expected during the Cold War that the Soviet Union and the United States were going to fight the battle of East and West and Armageddon, and the fires in the sky were going to be thermonuclear war. But as early as the mid-80s, I was talking about how the Cold War, according to Nostradamus, looks like it's going to end. And actually America and Russia, the great Aquilinaire powers, the powers of the North, with the symbol of the eagle, would come together. Both of them have the symbol of the eagle, would come together as brothers who are not yet fully brothers. Now, it's interesting, until the end of the Bolshevik communist experiment in Russia, Russia did not return to its old totem, the double-headed eagle, until just recently. So we're having in symbology of nations and prophecy, we're seeing the two becoming friends. Now, the important thing is there's two possibilities. The Russians and the Americans will become friends, or because they are brothers who are not yet brothers, within 3 to 13 years of becoming, on the surface, friends, they go to war. And there are many prophecies that talk about how there is this period of peace, and then the danger of war comes up again. Usually in astrological calculations, it's as early as the 2020s. When a lot of, and the basis for the breakdown is the unsustainability of our habits that need to change, the habits that we can change now, and then forestall the war and end the war from before it even happens. You know, habits that when we start running out of fossil fuels or the demand is too great than the current production, when we don't have enough food and water to sustain a peaceful society in the world, that is going to be the thing that triggers these two potential friends of the North, Russia and America, mm-hmm. to actually wage the Cold War again. We see the signs of that already here. And by seeing the signs, rather than throw up our arms and give up, this is the time now to change course.
I mean, over the weekend, Russia announced that they are giving more technology for nuclear power plants to Iran, and then they were working on how to dispose of the plutonium. And that could be a big problem, John.
It could be, and there are astrological indications that things are kind of coast along in America's relationship with the world until the end of July of this year. And then from July through October, the first 10 degrees of Saturn's transit through the sign of Leo, that means in layman's terms, is that that will be the time for America to really watch its short temper and not to overreact, because this is a sign of war. It's a sign of new wars, and it's a time where we got to really think before acting, because it transits for 2 years between the end of July of this year through September of 2007. And it's very likely that we might find ourselves in a war with Iran and Syria and North Korea in that period.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Yeah, George?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, John?
Yes.
My name is Scott, and I'm half Choctaw and half Cherokee. And my great-granddad mentioned four large eagles carrying a cannon to the east, and the person that sent it was all in a blue headdress, and then when I saw Nostradamus, it showed the guy with a blue turban, and sending a missile. You know, and it was going to strike New York. That's what I got out of it, anyway. And I don't know what John...
Well, actually, that sounds like you saw the movie that came out in 1982 called The Man Who Saw Tomorrow with Orson Welles as the host.
Right.
And it was based on a lot of the interpretations of Erica Cheatham, who was the major Nostradamus scholar of the 1970s. The problem with Cheatham's interpretation of the blue turban is it's in French actually means blue head or blue hat. So and it's also about Persia, blue purse. So it could relate to a future war with the United Nations against Iran. But it may, I don't think it is actually about missiles hitting. The Blue Turban Man is not the Antichrist, it's something else.
Stay with us.